Okay, so we left off in Mirtz Hashem on the source number 14, but we're going to actually move forward a little bit. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So the progression so far has been, we focused a lot on what was Adam's avoda in Gan Eden. What was his avoda in Gan Eden? So we saw the machlokes and mafarshim. I don't have to go over it again. We then dealt with the fundamental question. In the absence of Gan Eden, so how do we recreate this experience for ourselves? So we saw there's the concept of Torah, the concept of neshama. But if you're bringing that all together, really what it comes down to is that Gan Eden is really created inside of ourselves. That is the borrowing of Rav Huttner's idea of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. If I want to create Gan Eden in this post-Gan Eden world, Gan Eden is found inside of me. Gan Eden is not something external, but rather the Gan Eden in this world really becomes something fundamentally internal to me. So we took this idea a little bit further and explained that, or let's take this idea further and explain that really, what Gan Eden really is. So now, I know it's the neshama, I know that it's Torah, I know that it's inside of me. So if I were to ask you a little bit differently, when do you feel like you're in Gan Eden? When does a person feel like they're in Gan Eden? I know it's a hard question to think about, but when, yes? Say that once more. Good. When I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say a little bit differently, or a little bit more globally, when I feel that I'm living a meaningful and purposeful life, right? Think about this for just a moment. Anytime a person knows when they're wasting time, a person knows when they're doing something meaningful and productive. And I know how I feel when I'm wasting time, and I know how I feel when I'm meaningful and productive. That feeling of knowing that your life is purposeful, that feeling of knowing that there's a dveikus v'Hashem, that feeling of knowing that I'm not just taking up space, but rather, again, I'm utilizing my abilities for something meaningful and constructive, that's Gan Eden. That moment when you feel, wow, I matter, I make a difference, my existence somehow provides some additional dimension of meaning, that feeling, that's Gan Eden. So let's take this a little bit further. The Gemara says, we're going to skip that Gemara for now. So I want to show you something fascinating. So now we know Adam HaRishon's Gan Eden. I know that there is still Gan Eden even in this world. Just the Gan Eden is not an external geographic location. Gan Eden is something inside of me. How do you access your Gan Eden? Lead a meaningful life. Lead a meaningful life. And meaning as defined by Torah, meaning as defined by Dveikos Bashem, meaning as defined, and by the way, you know, when we say Torah, I mentioned this as we're learning, Torah never just means Talmud Torah. Torah means living Torah, living a life of chesed, living a life of tztaka, living a life of bin Adam Lamakom, Adam Liatzmo, and Adam Lechavero. When I lead that kind of life, and I feel like my existence is meaningful, that is Gan Eden. By the way, what's the raya to this? You see this all the time. People who lead, if you know anyone who leads a truly meaningful life, what's their general disposition? Happiness. It's an incredible thing. It's really quite fascinating to see. And by the way, it's not because a person like that often has a lack of suffering. For some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to run the world, is that often those who are holiest and most pious and most wonderfully spiritual seem to have an incredible amount of suffering. So it's not like they're happy because they have a lack of adversity or challenge. There's a real happiness that comes from a life of meaning. Because a person like that on some level is living in Gan Eden. Contrast that. Think about the most unhappy people you know in life. What would you say is the hallmark of their existence? Right. I'm saying, why are they unhappy? If you were to analyze the source of their unhappiness, why are they unhappy? They don't feel useful. There's not really a sense of meaning in life. It's an incredible thing, that real happiness in life, real happiness, internal happiness, and that's now that internal happiness is what we're calling Gan Eden, that comes from a sense of meaning. I know my life, this is why it's so important in life to do something meaningful with your existence. And by the way, meaningful could be a variety of different things. Meaningful could mean a person works in an office, but they're Mekadei Shem Shemayim. They're a good ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They do something constructive. That's meaning also. I want to be clear. Meaning doesn't just have to mean Dvarim Shebikdusha. But like Gan Eden, you find the Kiddusha in everything you do. Remember, in Gan Eden, not everything was Kaddish either. Tilling the soil, it could be Kaddish, it could be Chol. It all depends on how you approach it. That's the paradigm for life. In life, there are very few things that this is absolutely Kaddish, this is absolutely Chol. Most things are about the perspective and the attitude you bring to it. And this, I think, if you can internalize this, you're all young at the beginning, the cusp of the beginning of life. And if a person can internalize this lesson, because most of us learn it much later on in life, which is real happiness comes from meaning. Usually it takes most people a number of different steps. Usually we first assume when we're young, where does happiness come from? I'm sorry? So usually it's something material. So it's interesting because at different stages of life, you think different ways, right? So when you're young in school, happiness may come through academic accomplishment, or, you know, accomplishment is a loose term. Some people define accomplishment by doing well. Some people define accomplishment by just getting done. However you define it. Then you get a little bit older. Oh, I'm going to be happy when I'm married. And then once I'm going to be happy when I have a child. I'm going to be happy. So often we hinge our happiness on a variety of, and those are all wonderful things that contribute to a sense of happiness. But at the end of the day, real happiness comes from something inside. Comes from the knowledge that you are leading a meaningful life. And this is incredibly important. Because what's the danger of hinging your happiness on something external to you? First of all, before it even gets taken away, what could happen? It takes a long time to get it. Think about this, and this is incredibly important. If a person at a certain stage says, you know what, my happiness is dependent on my getting married. Obviously, getting married is a very important thing. That's in my happiness. So what does that mean? Until I get married, I'm not going to be happy? I'm not going to be happy? That's very dangerous. That means now I'm in a happiness holding pattern. So hopefully, halavai, b'shal tov, mitzlachos, for everyone, you know what should happen. But what happens if it happens now, if it happens in 6 months, if it happens in 2 years? And Hashem Baruch Hu has all different kinds of plans for us. So, and again, this is true at every stage. And if after I'm married, my happiness is dependent on having a child, which is such an incredibly overwhelming and beautiful bracha. But if that's what my happiness is dependent on, what happens if it doesn't happen as quickly as I wanted it to happen? Or if my happiness is dependent on a certain type of house or a certain type of lifestyle, what happens if that doesn't happen? So this is the danger, and this is my Simba Chol Yom, that people hinge their happiness on things external to them. And the problem is, you don't control a lot of stuff that's external to you. The only things you really control in life are your internal processes. So if I work on a paradigm that says, my happiness, my Gan Eden, is fundamentally rooted in my ability to lead a meaningful life. That's when I'll be happy. That's up to me. That's up to me. That's not dependent on anyone else. It is fundamentally dependent on me. Now again, that doesn't mean that if you lead a meaningful life and you find your personal Gan Eden, that all of the other things in life don't matter. Of course, they all matter. They all matter. And failure to achieve some of those brachos could cause an incredible amount of pain. But it doesn't prevent me from experiencing any amount of simcha. The danger of hinging your happiness on something external to you is the danger of living an unhappy life. Whereas if a person says, my simcha comes from my Gan Eden, and my Gan Eden is inside of me and me alone. I can choose to access it whenever I choose to lead a Torah life, to lead a meaningful life, to lead a Dveikos Bashem, to do something meaningful and purposeful in my existence. That's my Gan Eden. That's when I feel happy, and that happiness I fundamentally control. But I'll show you something very interesting. Take a look at number 16. So at the end of Eicha, so we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu kekedem. Right, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Right, bring us back, you'll be brought back. Renew our days as of old. So if you are writing that pasuk out, yes. Yeah, I skipped. I skipped 14 and 15 for now. We'll come back to it. So if I, actually, the truth is we spoke out a lot of it because I don't even know the way to come back to it. But yes, we skipped to 16. So if I were to ask you, if you were to write that pasuk, how would you write it? Would you write it that way, or would you change the phraseology a little bit? I'm sorry? In what sense? Oh, meaning you're saying Shavina Shuva, and then Hashim. We were asking Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring us back first. Good, excellent, excellent. What else? Focus on the last part. I'm sorry. Chadei Shavinu Kikadem. What does Chadei Shavinu Kikadem mean? Take us back to the old days. What old days? What are we referring to? Beis Hamikdash. Anyone here learn Navi? Baruch Hashem, right? Do you want to go back to the days described in the Navi? No, not really. I just want to tell you something. Like we speak of, when the Beis Hamikdash stood, there was craziness going on. Mamish craziness going on. You want murder, rebellion, this, that. It does not sound like the goal. Okay, of course you have the times of David HaMelech. But even David HaMelech, again, was wrought by incredible amount of jockeying for power. You have the days of Shlomo. Right, so the days of Shlomo were definitely heydays. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, but even Chizkiyahu HaMelech, which again, also heyday. But these are blips on the radar. You look at most of the Nevi'im, and I would not want to be living during those times. Besides the fact that you would have access to the Beis HaMikdash, which of course would have been incredible. But like you hear this phrase, Chadei Shemenu Kekedam, take us back to what we once had. And then you read Navi. It's, again, that pasuk is great if you never learn Navi. But if you learn Navi and you see what our past looked like, I don't know, it doesn't really seem so desirous. I'd sooner pray for a more glorious and beautiful future than I would to be taken back to my past. So what's the pshat? Right? What does this mean? Yes?
Why does it have to be the times of the Nevi'im? There were times before that also.
Oh, so like when? So give me a time frame when you would want to go back to. By my, you want to go back then?
You were there.
All right, this is good. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, you were there. I'm saying. Okay, Shlomo Melech. Good. But I'm just saying, by the way, you don't want to go back. You want to go back to Matan Torah. You don't want to be with them for 40 years in the desert. You don't want to live through Cheta Egel. You don't want to live through Cheta Meragim. You don't want to live through that stuff. That's not. Remember, again, the 40 years in the desert is not like the glory days of Klal Yisrael. Right, these were difficult days. I mean, not difficult in a physical sense, but difficult in an emunah sense. So it's true, Shlomo HaMelech. But remember, I just want to point out, Kedem, what does Kedem mean? Days of old. Days of old doesn't just mean, again, you could understand it just to mean that it refers to one specific time in history. Good morning. One specific time. Maybe you want to say it just refers to the time of Shlomo HaMelech? I don't know. Maybe that's possible. But Kedem is a pretty expansive term. So to just say that it refers to, okay. So now if you were to rewrite it a little bit. By the way, I think you'd be very hard-pressed to really find a time in Jewish history that you would actually want to go back to. It's just not Pasha. We don't have a Pasha history. We have beautiful times. You want to go back to pre-war Europe? That was certainly, people like to think of this as the heyday of Judaism. Yeah, except for the pogroms, right? Massacres, you know, blatant anti-Semitism, rampant poverty and illiteracy. But aside from that, everything was great. So, yes. 100%. 100. That's what I would say, if anything. I would say, so let me ask you. So now, based on what we said, right, I'm not trying to paint the picture that today is perfect. You're 100% correct. But I'm just saying it's interesting when we speak about, we always say, Chadish Shemini Kikedem, Chadish Shemini Kikedem, take us back. Take us back to what? Take us back to when? So now, if I were to ask you again, how would you, yes? Okay, so that's possible. That's possible. Maybe what this statement over here is, maybe even going back like to the Matan Torah comment, maybe the goal is restore us to a time where we are on a much greater spiritual elevation than we were now. But even then, and maybe that could refer to different times. Absolutely. But I just want to point out, even that, those times are few and far between. Right? Remember, you could count on like one hand and a little the number of times that Klal Yisrael was on like a ridiculously high madrega in their ruchnius. More often than not, we're people. So there are peaks and valleys. There are great times and there are very little times. So even Matan Torah, that's fine. But remember, again, right after Matan Torah, it's Cheta Egel. If you look at any major peak, there's almost always a valley afterwards. That's not a condemnation of Klal Yisrael. We're people, we're human beings. Human beings have the most difficult thing human beings is consistency. So we have ups, we have downs. But it could be, take us back to a spiritual later time. Yes, there's another hand.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, even if we say, like, take us back to then, does it mean, like, with
could have happened that were like a result of our actions. So Hashem didn't necessarily set it up that the Beis Hamikdash should have.
Right. Meaning, maybe take us back to that time again, and we could even do things differently again this time going forward. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes. Oh, why not write Hashivinu Hashem Elecha Ben Hashuva Chadesh Yameinu Ke'eden? Take us. Isn't that what I want? I mean, I don't want to go. The truth is, I don't want to go back to the times of David HaMelech. I don't. Even Shlomo HaMelech, again, those times I would go back to, but that's pretty much it. I don't want to go back to Jewish history. Again, I want a Bayis Shlishi. I want a beautiful future. That's what I want. Or if you want to ask me where I want to go back to, Chadesh Yameinu Ke'eden. Take me back to Gan Eden. That's where I started. That's where we started. Take me back there. So what's the pshat when it says kikedem? So I want to show you something amazing. Take a look at number 17. The pasuk in Bereishis says as follows. Pasuk in Bereishis, Vayishalchiyu Hashem Elokim migan Eden la'avod es ha'adam asher alu kach misham. So get ready for this. Get ready for this. So Adam HaRishon is kicked out of Gan Eden, as we know. So where does HaKadosh Baruch? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him out of the Gan Eden. Vayigarish es ha'adam vayashkein mikedem Legan Eden. Where does Adam HaRishon go to live when he is exiled from Gan Eden? So the way the Torah describes it over here is he goes Mikedem Legan Eden, which literally translated means to the east of Gan Eden, and then the Pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Malachim with fiery swords to block the way back to Kedem. Now this place, by the way, becomes known as Kedem. By the way, who else goes to live in Kedem? Cain, excellent. Kind of goes to Kedem. So something amazing happens over here. There are two places that are referred to in the life of Adam HaRishon. There's Gan Eden, and there's Kedem. So Gan Eden, we know. What's the Avoda in Gan Eden? What are you doing in Gan Eden? Two words. Lavda Ulushamra. What's the Avoda in Kedem? To rebuild. The Avoda in Kedem. Kedem is the place you go to rebuild in the aftermath of your failures. Kedem is the place you go when you could no longer be in Gan Eden because you messed up. I messed up, and therefore I'm no longer in Gan Eden. I go to Kedem, and it's in Kedem where I go literally again to heal my wounds, to dust myself off, to get back up, and to try again. Adam HaRishon is put in Kedem. You know, if you take a look in number 18, I'm sure you're familiar with Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel is a survivor of the Holocaust. He came from an illustrious Hasidic family. He was born in the city of Sighet. Sighet was part, I think it was Romania before the war. So a lot of famous personalities came from Sighet, including even the Satmar Rebbe, the Satmar Rebbe of Yol Teitelbaum, Seichet Satav Kadosh Lebracha, came from the city of Sighet. It was a town of many, many great tzaddikim. So he came from Sighet. Over the course of the war, he lost everything. He lost pretty much his entire family. See, he writes, so his books obviously are incredible about his memoirs of the war, which are very profound and stirring. See, he has a book called Messengers of God, where he writes about different biblical personalities. And he has a line in here, which I thought is absolutely incredible. Take a look at number 18. According to Jewish tradition, creation did not end with man. It began with him. When he created man, God gave man a secret. And that secret was not how to begin, but how to begin again. God gave man a secret. The secret wasn't how to begin, but how to begin again. Because isn't the greatest koach in life, after you fall, to get back up and to start all over? Now you have to appreciate especially these words coming from Wiesel, who lost everything. He lost his father, died in his arms in Auschwitz. He lost everything. And yet, again, he found the koach to rebuild. So says Wiesel something amazing. The greatest gift God gave to man was not the ability to begin, but the ability to begin again. And where does man begin again? Where? Kedem. So now I'll ask you again. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. Am I asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go back to some historical time? What am I asking him for? Give me the koach to start again. Give me the koach to rebuild. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each and every day I mess up. The only variable is, some days I mess up worse than others. But every single day I make mistakes. And sometimes literally I fall flat on my face. And when that happens, you know what happens? I spent all of this time building up my Gan Eden. I listened to the shir. So I spilt up my Gan Eden inside my Torah, my Neshama, Belvavi Mishkan. My Gan Eden is beautiful. And then I do something. And what happens when I do something? I exile myself from myself. I literally, through my actions, exile myself from my personalistic Gan Eden. And I'm exiled to Kedem. And I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha ben Hashuva, Chadeshimeinu ki Kedem. Kedem is where Adam rebuilt himself. Kedem is where Chava rebuilt herself. Kedem is where Cain went to rebuild himself. Kedem is the place you go when you get kicked out of Gan Eden because you have failed. But lest you think that when you fail in life and you are forced, you are exiled from your Eden, that there is no more hope from you, Kedem is the place you go to rebuild. Kedem is the place you go to get back up. And what an incredible and profound yisod. It is tragic to lose Gan Eden. But lest you think that when you lose your Gan Eden, you're done, Chadesh Yameinu Ki Kedem. So I have my Gan Eden inside of me, and I have my Kedem inside of me. And when I mess up badly in life, and I'm exiled from my Gan Eden, ultimately, I could remake myself. So what we're davening for over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me the koach to rebuild myself. And this is incredibly important, because at the end of the day, we speak about the concept of renewal and rebuilding all of the time. But do we really believe that we can start again? I'll tell you something amazing. You know, if we go ahead, I think maybe we spoke about this by the Yom Yun, by Yom Noraim. But if you, is that locked? Okay. If we, right after we finish Ni'ilah, so we go ahead and we daven Ma'ariv, right? And in Ma'ariv we say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. So the Ger Rebbe says, yes, the Shaila. What's the Avi Shaila? Why am I saying Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu? What are you talking about? First of all, I did Shuvah. Yom Kippur is Mechaper. I just finished Ni'ilah. It is not even enough time that I could have done something wrong. I'm tired. I'm hungry. So I'm too tired to speak Lashon Hara, right? You can't say that I made a bracha without Kavana because I didn't even eat it. What could I possibly have done wrong? From Hashem Hua Elokim to Shmona Esri of Ma'ariv. What could I have done wrong? And the Sasam says something so beautiful. He says, I'm asking forgiveness for the sin of not really believing that I could be forgiven. What does that mean? That a lot of times we go through life and we think that we are damaged goods. And even if we think that we do tshuva, we assume that the most that my tshuva could do is to remove the chet or to remove the onesh. But I'm tarnished. I'm tarnished. Right? I'm damaged. I'm damaged goods. And that damage could never really go away. It's always there with me. But that's not true. The power of rebuilding, or as Wiesel said, the power of beginning again, literally gives you a brand new, fresh start. Every moment, every day has the ability to start again and again and again, to disassociate yourself from your failures and to start fresh. That's Kedem. Kedem is where you go after you've been exiled from Gan Eden because you need a fresh start in life. So I'll show you something absolutely amazing. Look at number 19. Look at number 19. So listen to this. What do we say? Sheva brachas. Sameach tisamach reyem ahuvim. Literally, again, rejoice or rejoice with one another, beloved companions. Kisamechacha yitzircha bigan eden mikedem. Baruch atah Hashem, mesamechacha san dekala. So that's a beautiful bracha. It's a beautiful bracha. So first of all, it's an interesting aside that we go ahead and we give the chasan and kala the bracha to be like who? Kisamecha yitzircha bigan eden mikedem. Who are we telling them they should be like? Adam and Chava. Let me just ask you as an aside. If you are picking out like the paradigmatic marriage that you want to emulate, would Adam and Chava be up there? Generally not. Generally not. So the truth is, interestingly enough, that piece has explained that here's what's fascinating. You know, sometimes it happens that a couple gets married, and it can even happen sometimes even after engagement, and they begin to, there's something called buyer's remorse, right? Buyers are more, is this right? I thought it was right. Is it right? Okay, I'm not talking about a person who has legitimate concerns. That is, it's normal. It's normal for a person to second guess their decisions, right? Is this person the right for me? Is it the hashkafa, the this, the that? That's normal. It's normal to always question things after the fact. If, you know, buyer's remorse, that term is often used when you buy a house. So if it happens when you buy a house, alachas kama v'kama, when you make the biggest decision in your life about who to marry, yeah, totally natural, totally normal. There's only one couple in this universe, in the history of man, who could have never had any level of buyer's remorse, and that was who? Adam and Chava. For one simple reason, the shidduch pool was exceptionally limited. Right? That was it. Meaning, Adam had no doubt that Chava was for him. Chava had no doubt that Adam was for her. Not because their midos spoke to each other, or because they had similar life goals or aspirations, but there was no one else. So the bracha is beautiful. The bracha we give to the chasen and kala is that when you look at each other, you should view each other as, there's no one else for me, there's no one else for you. It's so clear that even though there's a sea of possibilities, I know that you are the only one for me, you know that you're the only one, I'm the only one for you. But what about this idea, ki yasamechcha yitzircha began eden mikedem? There's an extra word in there. What's the extra word? Mikedem. Now the truth is, it's not an incorrect statement, because remember, we saw the psukim, right? We saw the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Gan Mikedem. Gan Eden Mikedem, that's how it's referred to. But what's the pshat when we give them the bracha? Kisamecha cha yitzircha began Eden Mikedem. You know we're telling the chasen and kala? What's the message we're telling them? Right. I'm sorry?
You're going to mess up.
So watch this. When we tell the chasen and kala right now under the chuppah, you're in Gan Eden. And halavai, your Gan Eden should last for a very long time. For a very long time. But if you're a human being, what's going to inevitably happen? It won't. Well said, right? If you're a human being, that inevitably what's going to happen is you're going to have to leave. Something happens. Something inevitably again. This is very, very important. I'll never forget that. A number of years ago, I had a young woman who had gotten married. She was doing Shara Brachas and she called me hysterically crying. She said, I'm sober. I have to come in with my chasen to meet with you. I said, of course. So they came in, a wonderful young woman, wonderful young man, and mamish, she's sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. And I thought, chas v'shalom, like what happened? And like, you know, like when you're crying so hard that you can't tell, you know, like you can't, like you can't get the words out. So she's trying to formulate a sentence. It's not coming out. Finally, she got it. What did she say? She said, we had a fight. I said, okay. And what happened? What happened? She said, no, we had a fight. So I said, but what happened? So she was totally demoralized because she had a fight. She had an argument with her chassan during Shavuot Brachas. So I had to a little bit contain my laughter. I said, you had a fight? Welcome to marriage. I said, from where did you learn? This young woman thought that the definition of good marriage is you never fight. You never disagree. Right? Everybody thinks that, you know, marriage is like when Shlomo Zalman went to the doctor with his wife and he said, oh, our leg hurts us. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman, right? And maybe the Arbachs didn't fight. I don't know. I don't know if they did or if they didn't. But Lamaisa, regular people have disagreements. They get into arguments. They have differences of opinion. They might even get angry at each other. And yes, it might even happen during Shavuot Brachas. So it was incredible for me to see this young lady. She thought Gan Eden lasts forever, right? Gan Eden never lasts forever. So you say to the chasen and kala, Kisamechecha yitzircha began Eden. We hope right now, under the chuppah, it's Gan Eden. It is Gan Eden. Those moments when you stand under the chuppah with your basharet, with the shechinah, with your mishpacha, it is Gan Eden. It is. But he says the chasid nechala, but just know, if you're like anyone else, Gan Eden doesn't last forever. But when you find yourself being exiled from your Gan Eden, mikedem, find the power, find the energy to resettle yourself ultimately again in Kedem. Don't give up on yourself. Bless you. Don't give up on yourself. Don't assume that just because you can't live in Gan Eden, that life is no longer going to be happy, meaningful, purposeful. But even when you find yourself having to leave your Gan Eden, find the koach to rebuild yourself in Kedem. It's really an incredible idea. You say to yourself, wow, this is like what we're saying to the Chassan and Kala, that you're going to leave Gan Eden. It's the most beautiful bracha. Because you know what the most beautiful brachos are? The most beautiful brachos are the ones that are true, right? And that are real. It's like, you know, Rabbi Soloveitchik mentioned that Baal Shem Tov actually says the same idea, that when people go to be Menachem Aval, when people go to comfort mortar, what do they often say? Besides Amokam Menachem, what's usually like the wish you give out? What's the bracha you give an Aval? You should only have simchas. You should only have simchas. So Soloveitchik said, it's such a beautiful idea, but it's so naive. Nobody has only simchas. Besides the website, right? I'm just saying, nobody has a life like that. Only simchas? Oh, tell me, if you know a person who has only had simcha, I would tell you, then you don't know that person as well as you think that you know them. No one has only simchas. So Soloveitchik said, give a better bracha. The better bracha is, you should have a life that's filled with much incredible simcha, but when you find yourself in the midst of difficulty, sadness, loss, and despair, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you the koach to weather the storm. That's a bracha. That's a bracha. Only simchas. Fantastic. I'll check it out. Right? But lamaisa, that's not a bracha. So we say to the chassan and kala, we say, yes, enjoy the Gan Eden. But dear chassan, dear kala, know, at some point in time, you're going to leave. That's just zohi darko shal olam. But don't be discouraged when you have to leave. Because you give me the bracha kisamichacha yitzircha began eden mikedem. Because you want to know something? It wasn't just Adam, Chava, and Cain who were in Kedem. Who else was in Kedem? Okay, good. I wasn't going in that direction, but good. Right? Who else? Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam was also in Kedem. When you go and you find the courage to rebuild yourself, the Shekhinah is right there alongside of you. Alongside of you. So now, if we kind of wrap this up and just circle all the way back. So let's go back now to number one for just a moment. So let's go back. So what is the message of Gan Eden? What is the message of Gan Eden? So Gan Eden, Omer, Uri Tzafun Uboi Seman Afvichi Gani Yizlu B'samav. We're going to skip that first part of the phrase. The real message of Gan Eden to us is contained in the last part of the Pasuk. Number one, the last part of the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Yavo Dodi Legano V'Ochal Mipri Migadav. I say, let the beloved come and eat of his fruit. Or let the beloved come to his garden and eat of its precious fruit. Gan Eden says to us, what does Gan Eden say? Gan Eden say, do not despair because you have been exiled from me. Because just because you have been exiled from physical Gan Eden, Yavo Dodi Ligano, invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu to your Gan Eden. And what's your Gan Eden? That's the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. That's the Gan Eden inside of you. And when you invite the Ribono Shel Olam to the Gan Eden inside of you, invite him, V'yochal Pri Migadav. Invite him to eat of its precious fruit. And what's the precious fruit? The precious fruit ultimately, again, is the fruit of your accomplishments. The fruit of your Torah, the fruit of your mitzvos, the fruit of your chesed, the fruit of the life you build, the fruit of the personality you create, the fruit of the difference you make in this world. So Gan Eden gives us chizik. Because the truth is, when we open up Gan Eden in Perek Shira, it's a little bit sad. Gan Eden's talking to me almost like from a distance. And Gan Eden says, I'm not talking to you from a distance. I'm not far from you. I'm closer than you think. Your mistake is you think that Gan Eden is an external geographic location. Yavo Dodi Legano. You have your own Gan. That's the Gan of your neshama, the Gan of your soul. Invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu in and allow him to partake of the beautiful fruit. There's a question? Yes, go ahead.
Once Adam left Gan Eden, he couldn't go back though.
He couldn't go back. Yeah. Which, so this, and yeah, finish your question. So this is an interesting idea, and it's an incredibly powerful point to ponder, and it gets back to one of like the core yisodos in tshuva. This is a very important point, which is that at the end of the day, it's true Adam rebuilt, but the road to Gan Eden was forever closed off. So in tshuva, in the world of tshuva, a lot of times we make decisions, and those decisions change the trajectory of our lives. To the point that I can't rechange that trajectory. So tshuva is this incredible dialectic. On one hand, can I rewrite history with tshuva? Absolutely. Meaning, how do I know I can rewrite history? How do I know I can rewrite history? What's the proof? What does the Gemara say about tshuva mi'ava? What could happen with tshuva mi'ava? Zidonos nasis lo kizichuyos. The fact that I could go ahead and forget about erasing my chatoim, but transform my chatoim into zechuyos, into merit, tells me I can rewrite history. I can rewrite history, however, on a spiritual level. A lot of times I can't rewrite history on a physical level. So there are times in life where I do things, and as a result of my actions, the world has good for it. I'll give you a perfect example. I wronged someone, another person, and I wronged them terribly. Right? So what do I have to do? I have to ask them mechila. Is there a guarantee they're going to grant me mechila? No. Now it's true. I have to ask three times, and if they don't grant it, they're called an achzer. So okay, maybe they become the sinner. But lemaisa, I could do something to someone. I can go out and be genuine in my tshuva, yet I can't reverse what happened. And I can't necessarily even fix what happened, which tells you that although tshuva has the ability to rewrite the past, when you act in a certain way, you create realities. And some of those realities cannot be undone. So it's true. Adam had the ability to rebuild in Kedem, but he was denied ever going back to Eden. That was the repercussions of his act. Because sometimes in life you do something, and what you do has certain irreversible consequences. Now the good news is, even with irreversible consequences, you could still rebuild yourself, but you may not be able to rid yourself of those irreversible consequences. That is the incredible Musr of Adam HaRishon. Right? He never gets... See, and here's what's amazing, is to a certain degree, we have the ability to do what Adam can't do. Adam can never go back to Eden. I can go back to Eden. But again, the reason I could go back to Eden is why? So that is true. That's absolutely true. Although, again, at the end of the day, I have my... The Gan Eden I have is the Gan Eden I could get kicked out of, but the Gan Eden I could go back to. It's true. Different Gan Edens. I'm sorry?
Same with Adam.
No, Adam can never go back to the Gan Eden he started out with.
Right, but
he could always go back to the same Gan Eden. 100%. 100%. Absolutely true. He could always go into the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne as well. Absolutely. So it's incredible because as much as we yearn and we pine for a physical Gan Eden, the advantage of an internal, personalistic, spiritual Gan Eden is that no matter how many times you mess up, you could always go back in. Apparently with physical Gan Eden, there's a certain amount of times you mess up where you're forever exiled and kicked out. But your personal internal Gan Eden, no matter how many times you mess up, you could always enter back. All right, so we'll stop over here. Well, the Meretz, what did we leave off with? I left off in the middle of what? Of Aretz? Okay, so Meretz Hashem will continue that on Monday. Shkaf to everyone. Girls, you know what? Let me just go through. I know there were a number of people. A couple of people walked in late, so just come here. If you come up, I'll check you off the attendance list.